Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Oh boy. McMonagle here with you, 888-808-1019. 2 hours left on our 5 hour midnight ride as we take it till 5 o'clock in the morning in the warm up show, 888-808-1019. A lot of baseball. We'll get into the football games. We'll do picks this hour. Last week went 3-3. I had the Bills, I had the Eagles, I had the Rams. My favorite pick of the week was San Diego. Well, call them San Diego Chargers. Did not go well for me. And plus, the football was just lousy. I expect the football to be much better this weekend. Still some big spreads. I mean, we're looking at teams, you know, Kansas City, obviously at home, supposed to be cold too. We'll get into all that when we get into the picks. Detroit at home, which I think that could be what I want to see with Washington there. And the more I think about this, and I'll get into it with the picks. It's all right. We're doing it. I can give a little bit away. I think, to me, that I'm not taking the points at Washington. I'm doing one of two things. I am taking Detroit, if I were a gambling man, which I happen to be. In my mind, I'm either taking Detroit to be what they've been all year, dominant team, especially in that building. And Goff, that offense, Montgomery's coming back. That offense in that building, they're kind of unstoppable. And they've steamrolled. So they are the best team. I think I saw a stat in the last year and a half, or is it the last two full years? They are the best team against the spread in the Super Bowl era. Like, that's how they, the best team at covering the spread in the Super Bowl era. They have dominated teams. And so, to me, it's going to go one of two ways. You never know, but I'm not going to bother taking the points. I'm either taking Detroit or I'm going to take Washington on the money line because I'm going to take a chance there. I just have a feeling this kid is freaking special. And if this game, if they're in this game, and let's say the defense isn't playing well, they're banged up, obviously, Detroit. They've had the week off finally. They needed it after their bye being so early in the season. They got the week off. Jaden Daniels has now won. They have won 5 consecutive games. Now, against some of the weaker opponents, of course, you know, Saints being one of them. But they have now won 5 consecutive games on the final play of the game. 5. Atlanta, the Saints, last week. 5 consecutive games winning on the final play of the game. The Eagles after Hurts went down with the concussion. He just has a knack for winning these games. And even though, you know, like last week, no turnovers, no punts, but a couple of times on 4th down, not making the play. Like, he's not perfect, but when the game's on the line, like, he just has a knack to get down the field. And I think he's going to take this game into his hands. So, like, in my mind, if this game is close and there's pressure on Detroit that is a heavy front-running team, and, you know, maybe a close game and Campbell makes crazy decisions, like, to me, I'm either going on one of two things. Detroit's going to steamroll and be the team we expect them to, and Washington had a great win at Tampa, And it's a great start to the career of Jaden Daniels, and Detroit's just too much for him. Or this becomes a crazy game at the end, and Washington finds a way to win. So I'm probably going to end up taking Detroit and then sprinkling a little bit on the Washington money line, because I just think this kid is special. And I'm so jealous that the Giants don't have him, and I'm so pissed off he's in this division. And I just have a weird feeling where if this game, like, I think he's a closer. And I know it's his rookie season, and again, I'm talking about games against the Saints. He shouldn't even have to worry about finishing off the game against the Saints or Atlanta or, you know, Tampa Bay. Let's be honest, if Baker doesn't fumble that handoff, they probably win that game relatively easy. It felt like it was going that way, but when it comes down to it and plays need to be made, I just trust this guy as you know, as much as maybe anyone this side of obviously Patrick Mahomes or Lamar or Josh Allen to make plays. So I think that's going to be interesting. Those two games, I'm trying to find a way to think Houston can make things close. I just don't know if I can. We'll get into this with the picks, but if this were a regular season game, You play the what typically gets played with Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes is you take the number, take the points. They're terrible in these big spread games. Anything over a field goal, you take the points. Anything under a field goal or a dog, you take Patrick Mahomes. But in the playoffs, a dome team going out to a cold weather stadium where it's supposed to be like 20 degrees at Arrowhead, taking on Patrick Mahomes and a Kansas City Chiefs team that's getting healthier. Andy Reid, you know, week to game plan against a Houston team that, you know, makes big plays occasionally. That's really what he does. He makes big plays, Stroud, from time and again, like he did on the botched snap and fumble. But I just don't think there's enough there in this game. To me, I think there's a hard time envisioning that game being a good game. And I think that's probably the only one, although I do think Philadelphia kind of rolls. Philadelphia, that's the kind of game where they didn't perform well last week, and everyone, you know, a lot, I would suspect, I don't know, I haven't seen the number move that much, I don't know where the money is, but I would think that Los Angeles played well, their offense moved the ball, they beat Sam Darnold and the Vikings. Philadelphia, yes, beat Green Bay, but they didn't play well, didn't get their passing game going at all. He's reading books on the sidelines. And it's like, oh, you know, listen to them. But again, another team going out into the elements in Philadelphia. Saquon Barkley had 255 rushing yards the last time they played. 255 rushing yards. A lot of big numbers, but I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of covers. Or we're going to get the big-time upset. Where does the upset come from? If I had to choose where the upset comes from, I'm a Giant fan. I would choose the Rams to beat Philadelphia because as much as you play the game, right? As much as you play the game trying to beat Kansas City, because ultimately I don't want to see Kansas City three-peat. I don't. I want to see them lose. I want to see them go down. I don't want to see it against Houston, though. I do want the game, right? I want the winner of Buffalo, Baltimore to then go finish the final boss and take care of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I want to see that game. I don't want to see the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen lead a last-second drive in an unbelievable game and win 31-30 with a last-second touchdown and then welcome in the Houston Texans and then blow them out by 40 on their way to a Super Bowl. I want that. I want the winner of this Baltimore-Buffalo game to have to go into Kansas City and do it. So we'll see if there is an upset, if we do get this chalky kind of divisional playoffs, as we pretty much did in the wild card round. But I do think the championship game, if you get Detroit-Philadelphia, and then you get either Baltimore or Buffalo, it doesn't even matter, against Kansas City, that's going to be that's a sexy championship Sunday. You have to admit, as bad as, you know, as much as this team's been, the league's been top heavy, and as bad as last week was, and as bad as some teams that were able to get into the playoffs are, if you are looking at what we expect next week, Kansas City versus Buffalo or Baltimore and Philadelphia versus Detroit, that's a pretty damn good championship weekend. And I'm just, and the reason I'll be pulling for Buffalo is I guess it doesn't really matter to me. I'll be rooting for whoever wins that game. I'll be rooting for them against Kansas City. But I guess it's because of the 18 seconds, and I felt like Josh Allen had them beat, and it just, without a fault of his own, slipped through his fingers. I'd love to see Josh Allen get another crack at Kansas City. I'd like to see either of them get another crack at Kansas City. But, I mean, you just can't kill these guys in these games. It's unbelievable. But we'll see. We'll get more into the games as we get to the picks. I do think we're in store for, if I was going to say the major upset, I would think Washington over Detroit has the chance for that, because I just love the quarterback. I love Jaden Daniels. Love him. Absolutely love him. Every time I say Jaden Daniels, jerk over there whispers Tommy DeVito. Every single time. I'm just Giant fans, not to get back into the tanking conversation, but honestly, just for a second, as we really haven't talked about the Giants much, not a lot going on with them over the last couple of days, but I talked about their quarterback situation and, you know, maybe whether or not Dak Prescott makes any sense, which, by the way, all the reports are that Deion Sanders would take the Cowboy job if offered. And I'm just saying, if that happens, if Deion Sanders is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, it could get interesting with Dak Prescott. And if you don't think you'd be excited about a Giants team with Dak Prescott, you're wrong. You will get excited because they might actually win. But to get back on the tank conversation for a second, for those of you who yell at me about tanking, for the Bretts of the world and everybody else who tells me it's about winning the game, I'm sure all the fans at the stadium are real happy to see them lose. All the stuff, it's about winning. How could you root against your team? Now that we're away from it, now that it's been a couple weeks, we're watching playoff football, we're talking about Dak Prescott, or we're talking about the draft, or talking about quarterback situation, head coaches, divisional playoffs, we're a couple weeks away from it. Can you honestly tell me that you're glad they won that Colt game? Like, honestly, be honest with me. Even for those of you who might have been glad in the moment and rooted for it and were there. And even if you came up with the sappy story of it was the first game my son's been to and now he'll be a Giant fan forever. Like, honestly, are you glad that they don't have the first pick in the draft? Are you happy they won that meaningless game? Like, how could you possibly? In the moment, fine, sure, they won the game. Maybe they made you feel better on a Sunday, and you hate tanking, and you hate people who think like me, and so it made you happy. But now you're removed from it. Are you happy? Now we're a year plus removed from Tommy DeVito beating Green Bay and beating Bill Belichick and beating the Eagles the last game of the year. Do you wish they had Jaden Daniels right now? Or are you happy with those victories? We could be sitting right now at the top of the draft. The world would be our oyster. You'd have a choice of any quarterback you want or trade out of it and get anything you want. They would be in so much of a better spot with so many more options if they were picking first in the draft. They would be more suited to get back to playing this time of year. Like, it's not about the Colt game at the end of the year to get their third win of the season and avoid a 0-9 home schedule. It's about playing on Saturday and Sunday of this weekend. And Jaden Daniels is doing it. Tommy DeVito's not. Drew Lock isn't. Beating the Colts meant nothing. It meant nothing. Beating Green Bay with Tommy DeVito in New England, it meant nothing. And you could tell me all day long, Sanders isn't good, Cam Ward isn't good, you could still get Jackson Dart, blah, 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 blah. Noise to try and make you feel better of the fact. And the fact is, the Giants are worse off than they would have been if they lost the game. And honestly, who the hell cares now that we're 2 weeks away that they have three wins instead of two? Can you honestly tell me that matters to you in the slightest? If we were looking at it and they were the first overall pick in the draft, and you go, well, I mean, they only have two wins. Does it make you feel better that they have three? It's so stupid to me. I'll never understand it. I will never, ever be able to come to the understanding on how anybody would rather win that game and have a three in the win column as opposed to a two instead of a one in the draft order as opposed to a three. It's a world of difference, and particularly this draft. So stupid! I'm so annoyed at it. It still is eating at me. As I'm watching Jaden Daniels, and I'm telling you, I think he might beat Detroit in Detroit. And I wonder what, and again, I forgot to bring this up again. What do we, the other conversation, we'll get to it after the picks and everything, is I'm curious what the loss would mean to you. As a Jet fan, and Aaron Glenn being one of the main, if not the best, and most likely candidate to be the next Jet head coach, would it matter to you if Washington goes in there and upsets the Detroit Lions, and Jaden Daniels goes in there and puts up 40? They're banged up, I know, but would it matter to you? Does the game matter if you're a Brian Flores guy? Did it matter to you that he lost against the Lions and lost last week against the Rams? Does it matter? I'm just curious. Because if I'm getting a defensive head coach, better have a defensive guy who shuts down great quarterbacks.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed's sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Talk about your Giants on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
One, two, three into the four. I got that one right. Rosanna yesterday, a bunch of people hit me up. And by the way, just the weather thing real quick, because I guess they talked about it on the morning show too. I don't know why the weather thing is, why weather has come up, but I guess I misunderstood what the afternoon drive show was talking about. I thought, like, to me, just real quick, because it's been so cold out lately, I thought we were discussing extremes of hot and cold. Right? To me, I would rather on just, you wake up, it's Wednesday, you got to go to work. When I walk out the door to go to work, whether you're driving or taking a train or whatever the case, just I'm walking out of my house, I would much rather walk out and be have it frigid out where I could I can bundle up, I can wear different layers, I can take a deep breath of the nice fresh cold air and I'll deal with it. I'd rather deal with that than 100 and humid. You walk out and you can't even breathe and it's on you. I hate it. But if the conversation is what's better, summer or winter, I mean, yeah. The one, there's less of that extreme in our summers than there is. I know it's gotten hotter a little bit, but there's less of that 100 and humid than there is the 10 degree days we've experienced over the last week with the whipping winds, of course. And plus, summer, you can stand outside a little bit. Most people are willing. The other thing is what other people are willing to do. I'd happily sit outside by a fire and sip cocktails at night on a winter cold night, but nobody else is going to do it with me. But in the summer, people hang out. Like, of course, summer, winter, yeah, give me summer. I'm talking about the extremes. Like, way too cold, way too hot. Give me way too cold. I think it's obvious. I think it's obvious. And yet I'm the fool who goes to Disney every year in August with my kids. That's literally, I sign up. That's my vacation. I just told you, I would rather walk out of the house and have it be 5 degrees out than 100 degrees out. I honestly would. I'd rather do that. And yet for my vacation, my downtime, when I spend money to enjoy myself and get away from work, I spend my money to go and stand at a theme park for 4 out of like 7 days to see Mickey Mouse in that exact condition. That's my vacation. That's the kind of dope I am. I just told you I'd rather freeze my you-know-what's off than stand in 100-degree heat, and then yet I'll be gone for a week and a half in August so that I could go do it in Florida. I'm an idiot, I tell you, sometimes. Jeff in Colorado. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, C-Mac? Hope you're doing well.
Thank you, buddy. Hope you are as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy New Year. First,
Happy New points, Year.
Thank you. A few points here on Euchre, true legend.
Yes.
We're blessed in New York with incredible broadcasters, both on TV and radio, and it's often tough for me, you know, when I watch one, not to listen to the others. But the only two baseball announcers I ever really got into, other than the Mets announcers, were, of course, Vin Scully and, mm-hmm. and Bob Uecker.
Yep.
And so both of them were incredible. I want to talk about Pete, but I want to make a real quick point. You mentioned on Mr. Belvedere and Small Wonder. The reason you remember them together is they were both aired on the weekends on Fox 5. And so that's probably why you remember both of those two shows
really?
Together.
That's absolutely, it's probably more likely than 7 o'clock on a Tuesday. That's probably true.
Yeah, but Mr. Belvedere was in prime time, but it was syndicated on the weekends.
Right.
So
that makes sense. But I do remember those two shows together. Someone else texted or called into Fliegelman and said that they were back to back. That it was Mr. Belvedere and Webster.
And, maybe he could have been at one time. Yeah.
And maybe that's what I'm remembering. But because like in my mind, I remember a show about a kid, and I thought it was either Punky Brewster or Small Wonders. But maybe I have Webster, and maybe I'm misremembering it. It was Webster, but in my mind. Like, maybe that confusion is because they're all, you know, shows based on a kid. Maybe that's what I had in my head.
Before I get to Pete, one real quick point. Do you remember there was a show on TV? It was called Out of This World. It was also on, like, weekends in syndication. This girl, her dad lived on another planet. She could stop time.
I do remember that. When you said Out of This World, my initial thought was, no, I do not remember that.
Yeah, the girl's
But now that, you descri- now that you described the premise... I vaguely do remember that show. Yes, okay. And I just looked it up. Yes, I definitely, I can't tell you anything about it other than the main character, the young girl, looks familiar to me. I remember this show. Yes.
Okay. As far as Pete goes, and I was talking to Felix, I don't think it's a done deal. I think, you know, all this is coming out in the media, and really, if Uncle Steve and Pete want to make a deal, I think there's an opportunity to meet in the middle there. You know, the Soto deal obviously made clear that money's not an issue. I don't know if you saw this like a week or two ago, David Wright in the interview where he talked about how big of a deal it was. Wright put on the same uniform every day for his whole career, talked about Chipper Jones, you know, that sort of thing. Obviously, very different situation with what happened. But, you know, Daryl Strawberry's mentioned how big of, you know, his life it was, you know, leaving the Mets. And, you know, the money is obviously, you know, out of this world for, you know, us to even, you know, think about. And Pete's already set up for life with just the money that he made already. And it's a bit kind of, you know, perplexing me, you know, Boris, the agent, all this other kind of stuff. And you kind of wonder, you know, what is he looking for here, right? Does he want to go get paid, you know, 150 somewhere and be in you know, last place every year? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I get that's the same conversation. I know he ended up getting hurt, but I heard the same thing about Jacob deGrom when he went to Texas and they won the World Series.
Right.
We don't know who's going to finish in last place. They lost 90 games the year before, and then he went to Texas and they won a World Series without him. So,
two other quick things.
Yeah.
Yeah, just I'm not trading any prospects. The Mets have worked way too hard to build up a farm. You have some nice blue chip prospects.
Yep.
This guy, Ryan Clifford, who came over in the Verlander deal, who happens to play first base and was in AA last year.
Yep.
So, even if Vlad doesn't come along, this guy's a power hitter. You know, there's opportunities. For the record, I think Pete should make a deal. Fair for both sides. I want to see.
I agree. We don't know the inner workings and what they've been negotiating. It just feels like they've come with him with the bare minimum of the market value. And I would think he just wants a little bit of love. I think Pete wants a little bit of love for being Pete Alonso for the New York Mets for the last handful of years. I think that's what he wants at this point. He understands he bet on himself and lost, and the contract of 7 years, 150 is gone, 160, whatever it was, is gone. But he wants to be able to negotiate and say, okay, well, your offer is, you know, 3 for $70. All right, how about 3 for $85? And they're like, no, 3 for $70. All right, 3 for $80. No, 3 for $70. Like, that's what it feels like right now. But maybe that's not the case. I'm just telling you, it's how it feels like. And it feels like he wants a little bit more. And they don't want to give it to him. Now, does it make sense for him to take it? I guess I would be. I could understand the bitterness, though. I could understand the bitterness. And then as far as trading of the prospects and stuff, I heard Evan say this today, and I think he's 100% right, and that's why I was screaming about go get Crochet when he was available for trade, and the Red Sox did it instead. You have to figure out a way to get top-of-the-rotation, excellent starting pitching on your team. I'm sorry. I know it's become minimized a bit, and I know with the amount of innings they throw and all that, I don't disagree. And how injury prone they are, I don't disagree. But you need a legitimate ace. You need guys at the top of the rotation. I'm sorry, you just do. Last year they were able to maneuver it and figure it out, and then eventually it cost them. And you could argue that Manaea was that, but he got tired. Whatever the case may be, you need great pitching. You need a legitimate one or two guys at the top of the rotation that are ace-like, especially if you want to compete and win a World Series against the Dodgers, who have five of them. And so for me, if you're going to have a hard and fast rule that you don't pay for free agent starting pitching, you don't give the contract the Yankees gave to Max Fried, you don't give the contract given to Burns, you don't do it. You don't pay starting pitchers on the wrong side of 30 long-term contracts. You just don't do it. It's a fine strategy, makes sense to me, other than I need good starting pitching. So if that's the case and you have that hard, fast rule, Evan said this and I completely agree, if you are going to trade big-time prospects, I'm not doing it for Vladimir Guerrero, who I'll go pay. They have proven that they'll go pay the right free agent. They'll go pay a bat. They'll go pay Juan Soto. They'll pay Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They'll buy an outfielder or whatever because they don't view it the same as the injury-prone pitchers. And an everyday player is more valuable than a starting pitcher. But if you're going to have a hard, fast rule of not buying pitchers, well, then any opportunity to trade big-time prospects for a big-time player, I have to save that for starting pitching. Because I have to get the ace starting pitcher in here somewhere, sometime, eventually. I can't continue to put these the pieces together and hope I can create a rotation out of it. And so if I'm not going to buy the top of the market pitching staff, on some level I have to have an availability to get it. So if I need top prospects to be moved, I have the richest owner in baseball who'll buy bats, but he won't buy pitching. I have to save those prospects to trade for when the Groschets of the world open up, or if, you know, Skubal doesn't come to a contract agreement with Detroit, or whatever the case may be. Those starting pitching is where I have to trade my guys, because I'm only going to get starting pitching if I believe in it and it's young. And the only way to get young starting pitching is to either have a phenom come up and hit and start at 19 and hit free agency young, or trade for controllable young starting pitching. On top of the fact that, yeah, I don't, that's another element on top of, I just don't want to do it because I'll pay him next year.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Football Sunday. So good to me. Oh, it hits different in the playoffs, doesn't it? Let's go. The McMonagall overnight picks. It's been a while, guys. I feel like I haven't seen you in forever.
All I think there's a chance the last time we did this was before Thanksgiving.
It's got to be. It's been forever since we've done picks. I don't even know what happened, who won, who lost. What'd you do last week? We didn't do Monday. I went 3-3.
I would have went 3-3 anyway because I would have took the Vikings.
Okay.
So I'll say it, 3-3.
Okay, I went 3-3. And you could just tell us your personal... What'd you do?
Last week was my best week in a while. Yeah. Not a great end of the regular season. 5-1.
5-1. Who tripped you up?
The Chargers.
Chargers. Yeah, they were my favorite. I had the most money
on the
Chargers.
That's the game where it looked the best the first 5 to 10 minutes in.
I remember I was like, after that interception before Herbert gave it right back.
Yep. Throwing across his body. Yep.
That was the big play, obviously, is the botched snap that he turns into the big 50-yard play before they go in.
They could have dominated.
They were going in, man.
They had every opportunity to dominate.
He throws across his body he played so bad. All right, but let's get into this week. So forget all our numbers. I think I was right around 500 for the year. Fliegelman, it doesn't matter.
I was probably under.
You were probably, yeah.
I was probably under. I got back to 500, and then I struggled, so I probably finished under.
Oh, probably right around. All right, so let's go game by game. We'll each do the game. Not all, we'll do the game, go around, next game all around, third game all around, fourth game all around.
Okay.
As opposed to everyone doing four at a time. All right, so Fliegelman, you could start. Texans at Kansas City. I'm going on FanDuel -8.5, Kansas City -8.5.
I'm doing something that I normally say you can't do, and that's pick an underdog that you don't think is all that live in the game.
Uh-huh.
But the last time these two teams played, it was an 8-point win for the Chiefs. The Texans... Obviously, I still don't trust their offense. A lot of that was Herbert-enabled last week in the turnovers. But their defense has been solid all year long, and the Chiefs are known for kind of letting teams hang around in these games. Maybe they're a little bit rusty. They haven't played a meaningful game since Christmas. So maybe I get a nice start for the Texans, and the Chiefs win, but they don't cover the number, as they're known for not covering these big numbers. So I'm going to... Take the Texans and hope that Mahomes doesn't give you a Mahomes playoff effort.
I'm thinking the same thing, although, I mean, even with the rust, I think Andy Reid's 21-4 off the bye in his career. And I know it's regular season, but still, if there's any team that knows how to combat that, it's the Chiefs. And the idea that they can just put up a monster performance, and I can see it, but I'm going to take the Texans anyway for the simple fact that, again, Kansas City just hasn't blown anybody out. That hasn't been their offense all year. Mm-hmm. Maybe Houston's gotten a whole bunch of confidence from the way they just took control of a game that the Chargers handed them, and then they snatched it and not only won the game, but they won going away. Look, C.J. Stroud is the goods. We know that. Do I think the Texans can truly pull this upset? Probably not, but I think that they're going to be in it all the way through, and they're going to give the Chiefs a fight. So give me the Texans plus the 8.5.
If this were week 12 of the NFL season, I would 100% be with you guys. But in the postseason, a dome team going to Kansas City, where I think they're saying it's supposed to be in the low 20s in the game. I just think, off the bye, as you said, Andy Reid and Spags having a week to game plan against C.J. Stroud, who, yes, last week, after the 27 minutes of domination by the Chargers, made that play, and then it felt like they snapped in. Yes, Herbert made turnovers, but it did feel like the Texans kind of just snapped in and gained their confidence. I just, this is a tough spot for me. I think that in this game, they're going to find a way. They're healthier. They've added more pieces now as they get healthier. In the playoffs, in this spot, cold weather, team going to Kansas City, I just have a tough time thinking this is going to be a game. So I'm gonna go against it again. If this were week 12 of the NFL season, the same stuff. Kansas City has a tough time covering these spreads. They keep these games close. In this spot, for a Texans team that I really don't believe in and hasn't been that good down the stretch of the season, I'm having a tough time thinking this game is a game. So I'm going to take Kansas City minus 8.5. All right, so we go to Washington at Detroit. Again, another I have here, minus 8.5. I've seen it as much as 9.5 in different spots over the last couple of days, but we'll go 8.5 here. Fleegs, get us started.
I'm going to lay the wood here with the Lions, and I've been on the Commanders all year. This is not so much a pick against the Commanders as it is a pick for the Lions. I could see this game being 42-28, 42, 31 in that range. I don't know if the Commanders are going to be able to stop the Lions. I think Jaden Daniels will play well. It'll be a respectable showing for the Commanders, but the magical ride ends here. The Lions are a freight train. I think they're going to the Super Bowl. They're certainly not going to be upended at home in this game. So I think they win, and they win going away. My fear here is the back door. That's it.
Yeah, you know what? I don't even think I'm all that worried about that. Again, laying Lions with the 8.5. I'm with Fleegs on everything he talked about. The Lions are going to put up points. There is no way Washington's going to be able to slow them down. Will they score? Sure they will, but they're not going to be able to keep up. They're going to make a mistake or two, and it's going to turn this game into a complete and total blowout. And again, it's not against Washington. Hell of a job to not only have the season and to be able to pull off the win against Tampa, which I did not expect. Yeah. I really thought the Bucs would have a better game plan to really slow down Jaden Daniels, give them a ton of credit. This is a different animal. And going to Detroit, that place is going to be jacked, and I feel like Detroit's going to get off to a fast start, even with the quote-unquote rust off the week off. That offense is going to be clicking, and at some point, it's just going to be too much.
Yeah, I mean, let's make it 3-for-3. I'm going to take the Lions minus 8.5 as well. I agree. I think they're a force. I think they're a front-running team. And like I said when I was breaking down the game a little bit before, I'm not worried about the backdoor cover. I'm really not. I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on Washington money line, because it does. If this does become a game, if they are close, I honestly believe a lot of pressure goes on the Lions. This is their year. We all know they haven't been to a Super Bowl. They're the dominant force. Montgomery is back, which I think is as great as Gibbs is. Montgomery, that two-headed monster of a backfield, is very important. So I do think they are the team we think they are. I expect them to steamroll this game. But something tells me Jaden Daniels is special. So if the game gets close, I actually think they're a live dog to win the game. They're one of the upset specials I have this week. So I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on them money line. I know you hate the hedging, but I just have a feeling if the game's close, Washington's going to actually find a way to win. But I do think, ultimately, that the Lions are who we thought they are, and they're going to steamroll this game. Washington had a great win last week. Tough to duplicate going on the road in this building. So, give me the Lions. That's all three of us. Rams, Eagles, minus 6.5 for Philadelphia at home.
I'm torn over this one. I mean, the Eagles, when they played the Rams a couple weeks ago, I think we all had the Rams in that game.
Yeah.
And the Eagles blew them out. It was close after the first quarter. Rams had a lead. They also had a fumble on the first drive. Early on, it looked like the Rams could play with the Eagles, and then Philly just ran away with the game. Saquon was great.
But 255 yards.
Yeah. Last week, the Eagles' pass offense didn't really answer all the questions we had against the Packers. Packers turned the ball over a ton. Of course, you had the fumble on the opening kickoff. The Eagles' defense looks great, but if I have to take a chance on one of the coaches learning more from the first matchup, I'm going to take a chance that it's Sean McVay, and I think the Rams are live in this game, and I think that they're a good pick to cover here, so I'm going to take them. I wish I could get it at 7. When I bet it, I'm probably going to buy the extra point and a half. I'm definitely going to tease them up. The fear is that A.J. Brown goes off after all the jokes last week of him reading the book on the sideline, and the Eagles' passing offense wakes up. As great as Saquon is, I think the Rams' offense is going to keep them in this game, and this will be a real battle. So I'm going to take the coach I trust more, the quarterback that I trust more, and take the Rams.
You know, I hate to say it because I thought I was going to be on an island on this one, taking the Rams. And I think part of it is a hate pick against Philly. I'm not going to deny that. But look, I do believe that the Rams could win this game. I truly do. But I do wonder if it's in the back of my mind just hoping that the Eagles lose because that's part of it. I wind up in my emotions, in my feelings a little bit. But I do think the Rams defensively were good enough. Offensively, when Matthew Stafford gets hot, they're hard to slow down. And the Eagles, as good as they have been on the ground, they've been very predictable, and their passing game hasn't been great. And I'm with Fleegs. When you push comes to shove in the fourth quarter, I'm going to trust Sean McVay in a tight game over Nick Sirianni. And that's not, again, I know he's not calling the plays. I know he's not running the defense. There's still something about that Eagle team and that sideline, that the fact that they need Big Dom to be able to cool things down when things get hot. Where is my head coach in all of this? I still feel like when the pressure gets ratcheted up, Sirianni's at his best when you're front running and he can do the gloating. And when he can't, it's almost like he doesn't know how to keep everybody together. So in that regard, if it's close, which I think it's going to be, give me the Rams plus you're getting the 6.5, and maybe it's just a hate pick.
Yeah, I'm going to be on the island on a couple picks here because I kind of love the Eagles in this game at -6.5. I thought the Rams offensively didn't play that well, especially in the second half. I know they had the lead a little bit, but Puka Nacua didn't have the impact. That passing game, once Higbee went down, and we'll see what his status is for the game, kind of went down here. And as much as the Eagles, like, to me, it looked like a team that knew they were going to beat Green Bay. And I just have a feeling, you know, sometimes these matchups are what they are. He ran for 255 yards last time they played. And I just think this offense is going to run the football. I think you're right, they're a front-running team, but in the second half, they dominate teams in the second half. If this game is even remotely close at halftime, I'm going to be confident in the Eagles here because I just think they steamroll in the second half. I think they get that run game going. This defense is just ferocious. It's impossible to run. They'll turn them into a one-dimensional team. And I just think if you look at some of the games, I was just looking at it again to remind myself. Like at the end of the year, I know they won, obviously, against the Vikings. But you look at the offense here, again, didn't do much in the second half of that game. 12 points against San Francisco, 19 points against the Jets, 13 points against Arizona. I understand McVay. I understand that, you know, the quarterback, Stafford, is one of the more underrated players. But this offense has just not really gotten going. I love this Eagles defense, and I think they steamroll in the second half and get that run game going. Give me the Eagles -6.5 over the Rams. And then we get to the game of the week, possibly the game of the year. We'll see. Ravens against Bills in Buffalo. Ravens, the 1.5-point favorite on the road in Buffalo.
Obviously, as close as it gets, I'm going to lean with the home team and the quarterback that I trust just a little bit more. The Ravens should have an edge on paper because they have Derrick Henry this year, which they haven't in the past. And obviously, they destroyed Buffalo in that game earlier in the year. But that was in Baltimore. And as much as I trust Harbaugh a little bit more than McDermott, I'm still scared. Todd Monken's game plan against the Chiefs last year in the playoffs is in the back of my mind and how horrible he was in their biggest game of the year. The Ravens are a little bit better on paper, but I think Josh Allen has been better in these games. Lamar Jackson, one, probably doesn't have Zay Flowers. Two, I don't know if he's been as awful as his playoff reputation is, but Josh Allen has been excellent in some of the Bills' playoff losses.
Yeah.
At 13-second game against the Chiefs, he was nearly perfect in that. He was good against the Chiefs last year. It's been his team not doing enough. I think the team is a little bit better this year. If not on talent, the roster, then it's the scheming with Joe Brady, and it's them buying in. And Lamar has been the one guy out of the two who has been worse in these spots. So I'm going to take Josh Allen and the Bills at home.
You know, we're 4-for-4, me and Fleegs, that's scary, and that's not a good sign. But for a lot of the same reasons, and I'll be fair, and this is not a knock on Lamar Jackson's regular season, but I'm kind of a prove-it-to-me guy. I've seen him too many times in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, oh, this was a bad, you know, scheme, this was a bad game plan. He looks like he's trying to do way too much, and he looks like he's trying to play almost backyard football where stick to what is there. He wants to extend things that are not there. He wants the big play instead of just taking what the defense gives him. All the different things that, look, he extends plays. He makes big plays during the regular season too. Don't get me wrong. But it seems like he wants it all in the playoffs to prove that he's the guy that everybody says he's not. And until you actually can calm yourself down and do that and get over that hump, I'm going to still have a little bit of trepidation. And the fact that they're playing the Bills in Buffalo, it's going to be, what, 14 degrees?
Yep.
The Bills have done a great job of running the football. I think they're going to be a little calmer. I think the crowd is obviously going to be something there. Look, it can turn on you. If the Ravens get out in front, I think if any team takes like a 10-point lead, I'd find it difficult to believe either team's going to come back from it. They're very evenly matched. These are two good clubs. I just feel like if you're going to ask me, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, until I see Lamar Jackson actually pull it off, I got to lean the other way. So give me the Bills.
Yeah, we're all going to take the Bills here. You mentioned, you said evenly matched. You said slightly better on paper. I think they're much better on paper. I think Baltimore is the better team. You look at how many just excellent defensive football players they have compared to the Bills. I think they are the far better team. But I just, in that building, and I'm just going to trust the quarterback. I mean, you guys have been saying it. I'm going to have to repeat it. But I think this is the year of Josh Allen. I don't know why. The way he's carried this team, the way he is everything for this team. In this building, I trust him in the big game more than I trust Lamar Jackson. And again, I think Fliegelman nailed it too. Last year's game was so disappointing in how they played it. And just everyone, from the quarterback to the coach to the scheme, they were the moment was too big for them. And here in this spot, like, I'm just worried they're going to get away from what they do. And if I was going to trust the team late in this game to make plays, I'm going to trust Josh Allen. I'm going to trust Buffalo. So although I do think the Ravens are the better team, and I think it's clearly that they're the better team, and I do think Lamar Jackson's had the better year even than Josh Allen, I'm going to go with the Bills at home, getting a point and a half. All right, that's it for our picks. I think you guys agreed on all four games. I'm different on the Chiefs, and I'm different on Philadelphia. So good. Should be fun. Should be some good games. I also like some of the number plays, too. Like that game against Buffalo. That game in Buffalo, the over-under 51.5. It's supposed to be freezing out. These are two teams that run the football. There's talk about lake snow, whatever they call it, that wind lake snow. Something like that.
I don't know what you're getting
at. There's something about like off the lake, off the water, creating some snow.
Uh-huh.
There's a term for it. I'm forgetting it.
Like a snow drift type thing?
No. It's like there's something.
Lake effect snow?
Lake effect snow. Maybe that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Huh.
Because it's
lake effect.
Okay.
Lake effect snow.
I'm unaware of this.
Yeah. Lake effect snow.
It's a term I just didn't know. Okay.
Okay. All right. Good. So that's I like the under in that game as well. All right. That's it. Those are the picks for a divisional weekend. Should be a lot better than last week, we hope.